stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Best Practices on Configuring Remote Access to DB2 Data Sharing for Optimum Availability. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, learn how DB2 data sharing improves the availability of your DB2 data and more, helping application programmers and end users because the applications see a DB2 data sharing group as a single image. The speaker for today's teleconference is Jim Pickle, IBM Senior Technical Staff Member, DB2 for ZOS Development. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Jim Pickle.
Hello, this is Jim Pickle, and this session will describe the technologies that need to be deployed to ensure the highest availability for application services accessing a DB2 data sharing group. Special focus will be given to the network requirements, since the network configuration plays a critical part in the overall DB2 availability story. Only implementing bits and pieces exposes applications to outages due to a member failure or a member slowdown. If configured correctly, application servers will fully utilize the availability and scalability aspects of parallel sysplex. Once implemented, WLM will fully manage resource utilization across the group, eliminating the need to reserve capacity on individual members for a specific application or force applications to execute against a single subsystem. At the end of the presentation, an update is provided on some of the exciting new availability features being delivered in the latest DB2 drivers. Okay, let's go to the first foil. This session is broken into four main topics. The first topic will describe the TCP/IP requirements necessary to provide a fault-tolerant environment essential for high availability, like ensuring connections always work, or allow timely resolution of in-doubt server threads if a subsystem fails over to another LPAR. The network topology helps provide a single image of the DB2 group to remote applications. The next topic will describe the benefits of enabling the DB2 sysplex workload balancing function in the DB2 Connect server. It will identify the benefits and why it is a critical component in a high availability environment. If either the network or sysplex workload balancing is not configured correctly nor enabled, you are exposed to unnecessary application outages. These two components are necessary to provide a high availability environment. In some cases, not all resources are available on all members of the group. Then it makes sense to limit the applications to only a subset of the members. Additional configuration steps are described to limit an application server access to only a subset of the members. And the last topic, again, is to provide an update of some of the new availability features being delivered in the latest DB2 Connect server drivers. So let's go to foil three. The DB2 high availability configuration has three major components: the TCP/IP sysplex distributor, the DB2 sysplex workload balancing functions, and load distribution managed by workload manager. The first critical component is the TCP/IP sysplex distributor. It provides a fault-tolerant network environment by allowing connections always to work to the group as long as one member is listening on the common port. The sysplex distributor provides a connection-level load distribution and provides a single image to remote applications. The next critical component is the DB2 sysplex workload balancing function provided by the DB2 Connect server drivers. The DB2 sysplex workload balancing function provides transaction-level load distribution. Both components must be enabled and configured correctly to ensure the highest availability. The next few charts will go into more detail on these technologies and describe why they are critical. Let's go to foil four. Balancing connections across group. The functionality of sysplex distributor is to provide a single system image for a service that supports the parallel sysplex environment through the use of a special IP address. To support a DB2 single system image, an IP address representing the DB2 group needs to be configured for each subsystem. The IP address is then distributed using the SysPlex distributor across the parallel SysPlex. DB2 calls this distributed dynamic VIPA address the DB2 location or group dynamic VIPA. All clients should access the DB2 group using this single image IP address. Once the DB2 group is enabled to be accessed through the SysPlex distributor, it makes use of Workload Manager and provides a connection recommendation for each subsystem. Connections are then distributed across the group based on these Workload Manager recommendations. During DDF startup, DDF registers subsystem to Workload Manager and starts the DB2 TCP/IP listener for the SQL port. Once the subsystem starts to listen on the SQL port bound to the group IP address, the subsystem automatically includes in the SysPlex distributor distribution of new connections. This is a good approach, except in cases when connections are long-lived, thus minimizing the impact of connection distribution to a DB2 group. So let's go to the next FOIL 5. Balancing transactions across group. When using connection pooling, the connection is only available for reuse after the application owning the connection issues a disconnect request. In many client-server applications, users do not disconnect from the duration of the workday. Likewise, most application servers establishing database connections at startup do not release these connections until the application server is shut down. In these environments, connection pooling has little, if any, benefit. However, in web and client-server environments where the frequency of connections and disconnections is higher, then connection pooling will produce performance benefits. The DB2 SysPlex balancing support that the DB2 Connect server provides eliminates this problem. The DB2 SysPlex workload balancing function uses connections to a DB2 group only during the duration of the SQL transaction, while keeping user applications connections logically active. The next chart will go into detail on how this works. This allows for configurations where the number of DB2 threads and resources they consume can be much smaller than every application connection had in its own DB2 thread. This function must be enabled in the DB2 Connect server. It uses the same workload manager recommendations as the SysPlex distributor to distribute transactions across the group. When it comes to a fail-safe operation and load balancing of work, SysPlex workload balancing is clearly the only choice as it allows reallocation of work with every new transaction going to the DB2 group. So let's go to the next FOIL. This is FOIL 6, and this describes the DB2 transaction level load distribution. As I said before, this function dramatically increases scalability of the DB2 group across the parallel SysPlex. Let me go into some detail on how transaction load balancing distribution works. DB2 Connect server maintains a pool of physical connections to each subsystem, shown in the diagram as PC, for physical connections. These are called transports. The number of transports to each subsystem is based on workload manager recommendations. When a transport is not being used and is available in the transport pool, then it shows up in the DB2 server as a disconnected connection, which can be displayed on the display thread. There is no DB2 thread associated with a disconnected connection, so it's not utilizing any resources on the DB2 server when a transport is in the available transport pool. Theoretically, each DB2 subsystem can support 100,000 disconnected connections. So disconnected connections or available physical connections in the available transport pool is not a problem. Applications establish logical connections, shown in the diagram as LC, or logical connections. The DB2 Connect server assigns a transport only when a transaction is initiated by the application. This allows applications to stay connected without any resources being consumed on the DB2 server. It is now possible to have thousands of users to be active in an application with active connections, yet only have a few threads actually active on the DB2 server or in the DB2 group. Another key feature is the method of assigning a transport. The DB2 Connect implements a sophisticated scheduling algorithm that uses workload manager recommendations to distribute workload across the subsystems. Workload manager is not only aware of the load on each system, but also its availability. This allows the DB2 Connect server to transparently relocate work away from failed or overloaded members to those that are up and underutilized. So let's go to FOIL 7 and talk a little bit about how to configure the network and how to route requests to the DB2 group. This chart identifies what needs to be configured at the network layer by the network administrator. First, you need to configure a group distributed DBIBA for the group. All members will listen to this IP address and SQL port. Connections using this IP address are distributed across all members. Connections are successful as long as one member is up. This IP address is used by clients to access the group, providing a single image of the DB2 group. Next, you need to configure a unique IP address for each subsystem. This member DBIPA is not distributed since Connect Server uses it to establish connections to a specific member. The member IP address should be configured on all LPARs that the subsystem may be started. This allows connections to be established even if a member fails over to the LPAR using VIPA takeover. As soon as the member is restarted after a failure, any distributed indel threads can be quickly recovered even if started on a different LPAR, since recovery uses the IP address to resolve the indel transaction. The unique subsystem IP address is called the member DBIPA. During DDF startup, DDF registers the subsystem to workload manager. The workload manager recommendations are then provided back to the DB2 Connect server during Connect processing for all systems registered to workload manager. These workload manager weights and unique IP addresses are used by DB2 Connect server to balance transactions across the members of the DB2 group. So let's go to FOIL 8. This chart provides a pictorial representation of the network topology that we just described on the previous FOIL. This figure shows three subsystems in the group, DB2A, DB2B, and DB2C. Each subsystem listens to the group distributed DBIPA bound to port 446, shown as VX, which would be the group IP address, bound to 446, which is the DRDA well-known port. Also, you notice each subsystem listens to the unique member DBIPA bound to 446, as well as the unique resync port. So for DB2A, you notice the member DBIPA is the IP address represented by V1. For DB2B, the member DBIPA is represented by V2, and the member DBIPA for DB2C is represented by V3. The member DBIPA is also bound to a resync port. So when you do a net server trace on T2IP, you can see what ports are bound to what IP addresses. This figure shows an example of how it works. So number one, the Connect server connects to the DB2 group using the group IP address. Number two, the Sysplex distributor then routes the connection based on workload manager recommendations for the target server. In the example, it routes to DB2B. Number three, when the connection is established, DB2B returns the workload manager weights and member IP addresses for all subsystems active and registered with workload manager. The IP address and the workload manager weight for DB2A, DB2B, and DB2C are returned in step three. Then from step four on, the Connect server then creates and balances connections using the transports based on the workload manager recommendations that were returned on the initial connection and subsequent connections. So let's go to FOIL 9 to talk about application enablement and the impact to transaction pooling based on how applications manage and control resources used in a transaction. So So in order to fully utilize a DB2 group, it is important that applications do not hold resources or threads for long periods of time. The DB2 Connect server makes the connection available to other applications as soon as the application commits a transaction and does not hold any global resources that are required to persist across transactions. For example, any withhold cursors not closed, any declared global temp tables not dropped, any application using packages found using the Keep Dynamic option. Any of these resources held across a commit would prevent the connection and associated DB2 thread from being pulled by other applications, preventing it to being reused by other applications, reducing the overall efficiency of the DB2 group. If the transaction completes and no global resources are open, the DB2 Connect server can disassociate the transport from one application logical connection and associate the transport for another application's logical connection. So it's important that in the application development that these best practices are reviewed and analyzed to make sure that the applications are closing and not holding resources during across commits. Okay, let's go to Boil 10, where we're going to talk about workload balancing based on workload manager weights. DB2, as well as the Sysplex distributor, uses workload manager recommendations to determine where to route work. Workload manager returns the list of subsystems in the Sysplex associated with a DB2 location. The member IP address is returned along with a relative weight for each subsystem. Workload manager considers the following factors when generating the weight for a subsystem. The first indicator is the performance index that indicates the achievement of the workload manager defined goals of the work executed at the server. A server that permits the goals of its work request to be achieved is preferred over one member that does not meet the goals. The second, it relates to the queue delays waiting for a database access thread, which is taken into account that the work is subject to due to the queue times of the DB2 enclave. A member with less average queue times for its enclaves is preferred over one with the higher queue times. So if a server has SQL requests waiting for a thread to be used to process the request, and threads are being used by other applications, then the queue times increase, and so this is an indicator that there's a work slowdown at the member, and so other members will be identified as a better member to route additional requests to. The newest factor that was added in version 9 is the health factor for each member. Each DB2 subsystem reports its health to workload manager as the storage is being utilized. As storage is thresholds are met, the health of the subsystem is reduced or increased based on the storage utilization of the DBM1 and the disk address spaces. Let's go to Boil 11 and talk a little bit about how balancing to a subset of subsystems work. You can isolate an application access to a subset of the members. Again, the use of the DB2 Sysplex workload balancing in conjunction with the Sysplex distributor is used to isolate connections to only a subset of members in a group. Load distribution for both transactions and connections are performed across the subset. If all members of the subset are down, connection failures recur even if other members not in the subset are started and capable of processing work. So they will not fail over to other members that are not in the subset if all members in the subset fail. This is configured by defining a location alias and a port to the subset of members in the DB2 Bootstrap dataset, in which you can limit the members to which application servers can connect by using the location alias and the distributed group dynamic VIPA address for the particular port. System and database administrators might find this useful for any number of purposes. It ensures that the initial connections are established only with members that belong to the specified subset. Without subset, requesters can make initial and subsequent connections to any members of the data sharing group. It also provides workload manager information only to those members in the subset. With subsets, a member that receives an initial connection request returns to the list of members that are currently active, able to perform work, and represented by the location aliases. So let's go to FOIL 12 that has a figure of how to define and configure a DDF subset. In this figure, DB2A and DB2B are configured as a subset. The subset port in this example is defined as 447. The group port is 446. So if an application accesses the DB2 group using the port 447 and the location alias as the name of the database, then all work would be routed to the subset. If it does a request to the location and uses the group port, which is 446, then all work is routed across all the members. The figure shows the group distributed DVIPA and the member distributed DVIPA on DB2A and DB2B are bound to both the group and subset ports. Let's go through an example of how it will work. So number one, the connect server connects to the DB2 group using the group DVIPA and the subset port. In this case, it would be 447. Since only DB2A and DB2B are listed on the subset port, connections are only distributed between these two subsystems. For number two, when the Sysplex distributor receives the connection request, it then uses the workload manager recommendations to route it to one of the members that are active for that port, and that would be either DB2A or DB2B. In this example, it routes it to DB2B. Then for three, when a connection is established, DB2B then returns the workload manager rates and member DVIPA for all subsystems up and configured with the location alias back to the connect server. The IP address and workload manager weights for DB2A and DB2B are returned. DB2C is not returned because it has not been configured for the location alias. The connect server then distributes connections using the transports to each member in the list based on the workload manager weights and routes for all the members that are currently active that are configured for that alias and port 447. So that's how the subsetting works. It's all based on a unique port for the subset. So every subset that you would define, you would have a specific port associated with that subset. You would still use the same distributed group IP address and the same unique member IP address, but it's determined based on the port number that the application connects to and the name of the database that it's accessing. So let's go to the last FOIL, talking about high availability update. DB2 and DB2 Connect server is delivering enhancements to the DB2 Sysplex workload balancing functions. There have been improvements to the distribution algorithm when two members are close to 100% utilization. Also, when a DB2 subsystem is being stopped, connections are automatically rerouted to other members without exceptions being reported back to the application server. So currently in the current driver, when a connection is rerouted to another member, an exception is driven back. But in the case where the exception can be controlled and managed within the connect server and the state is redirected back to another member without any connection state changes, then no exceptions are returned back to the application and the application continues to work as if there were no failures, even though they switched from one member to another member. This is important for when a DB2 subsystem is being stopped. So you would do a stop mode quiesce. Then DB2 would automatically terminate connections on transaction boundaries, and the connect server would automatically reroute those connections to other members without any exceptions being reported back to the application server. Another availability improvement that has been coming out in the latest driver is when a DB2 subsystem fails. Connections are automatically rerouted to other members that are not in a transaction without any exceptions. So if a member fails, all connections are in a transaction boundary, will be rerouted without any errors being reported back to the application. The logical connections will not see any errors. It'll all be hidden within the physical connections and the connection server logic. Also a critical availability update is DB2 is shipping APAR PK38867, which will include SIPs in the capacity being generated by workload manager recommendations. So with this APAR, DB2 will also include in the weight that was generated by workload manager to include the SIP capacity in the recommendation. And then this is returned to the DB2 Connect server, so future connections will utilize the SIP processors in its distribution. Well, that's all I have today, and so now I'll hand it back to the operator. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jim. Now we'd like to ask everyone to participate in a brief electronic survey. Now, right after the survey, we'll have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us. We appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice, and please listen to all options before you make your selection. First, we'd like you to describe your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for a moment. Question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3, what version of DB2 are you running? If it's DB2.9 for ZOS, press star 1. If it's DB2 for ZOS version 8, press star 2. Or if it's DB2 for ZOS version 7, press star 3. Again, we'll pause. Next, question 4, are you currently using DB2 data sharing today? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll conclude with our final question in just a moment. And finally, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving some additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, or if no, press star 2. And we'll pause a final time. Thanks again for participating in a survey, ladies and gentlemen. And I've just gotten a note that Jim actually has had to disconnect from the call, so we're unable to conduct a live Q&A session. However, if you do have questions you'd like forwarded to Jim, you can send an email to Jennifer Shear at the following address. It's jshear, that's S-H-E-A-R, at us.ibm.com. So, again, we apologize for that inconvenience. But if you do have some questions you'd like us to forward to Jim Pickle, again, jshear at us.ibm.com. Well, with that, we appreciate your attendance and your patience today. That will conclude today's teleconference. Have a good day.